And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, Happy New Year! Yay, 2017! We did it, we're here, we made it! Welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi. I was about to say Star Wars The Clone Wars, it's a weekly show. What am I doing? I'm so excited! We have a weekly podcast talking about every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. This week, we took the month of December to take a break. We did commentaries. I hope you loved them. It was my first time doing commentaries. But now, we're getting back to basics. And we have to wrap up Season 2 of Clone Wars. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. And not only is it a new year, this is episode 50.
Is it really?
Guys and Jedi. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This is our 50th episode.
We did it!
Of course, in two weeks, that'll be our one-year anniversary of doing J Guys and Jedi 2.
That's true. I forgot we recorded some and we kind of started like halfway through January, didn't we?
Yeah. And I mean, this is episode 50. But also, we've had 2.5 episodes, too, so this is actually the 52nd episode.
Shut up!
Of J-Guys and Jedi.
This is the 50th real episode.
Yeah, official episode.
Those other two are, like, fetch. That's a Mean Girls reference,
I think one was us talking about Rebels, and the other one was you getting drunk with your mom. So there you go.
Yep, and I have to say, speaking of Rebels, are you all caught up?
I'm not. I've got two episodes behind. I just saw the one with I can't remember the kid's name, but what was it, the Iron Brigade or the...
The Iron Squadron?
Iron Squadron,
the
yes.
One with all the youths?
Yeah, they were kind of annoying. I was not happy. It was a good episode, but there were a couple groany moments, like where they opened up the airlock door, and you could tell that they were Rebels because there was a character sitting there like all kind of cocky, you know, with her legs sort of half crossed and sitting there like twiddling her thumbs with a mohawk. And you know a character's a rebel when they've got a mohawk.
Yeah, from what I gathered, like, the season is very hit and miss for everybody.
I don't know, with my Clone Wars background, I can sort of, I see what they're doing. They're doing that, we're only in the third season, and they're throwing out a bunch of new characters, and they're going to see who comes back, who develops good, you know, we're getting a whole lot of, you know, Iron Squadron could go in a lot of different directions, some of them tragic, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. And those characters are kind of annoying now, but like, get some battle seasoning on them, and you know, those could be some good characters. So they're building stuff. They're not doing a like real like strong coherent arc, but they're sort of building stuff, and you're getting to see Thrawn just on the edges. It seems like gathering information and observing things to put together, you know, how he's gonna take them apart.
Yeah, like, I feel like season one was just the intro to the Ghost Crew, kind of all season. Season two, I feel like they brought in so much more of the Jedi lore, and I feel like this season is the building of the Rebellion.
Mm.
But I will say, there's an episode called An Inside Man, and there's a character that I really love in Rebels, but that episode made me love this character even more, possibly giving Rex a run for his money.
Ooh, whoa.
I know. Whoa. I've really been really... I liked this character before, but the more and more they develop this person, the more and more I love them.
Why can't I ever remember his name? Is it... What's his name? The Imperial?
Agent Callus?
Yes.
Yes.
I knew it. I knew you. I knew. I saw how you were looking at Agent Callus.
Yeah. I really like Callus a lot. Like, he is quickly becoming one of my absolute favorite characters. And in the episode of Inside Man, they did something with him that I actually didn't see coming. And I was just like, I am just this. He's probably one of the most interesting characters in Rebels. I really want, like, way more with him.
Well, so, what I love about Rebels is it's unlike Clone Wars, it's almost completely, except for cameos, it's almost completely original characters, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no core of characters that are movie canon characters, and which could be really bad, but not in the hands of Dave Filoni. You know, he knows how to work it, and all of a sudden, you know, almost any character in this could be like one of the most compelling Star Wars characters we've ever met. You know, there's so much potential.
See, what I like about Rebels is, yes, to what you just said, but also, like, we get to see, like, the groundwork of the Empire, because from, the original trilogies, we see, like, Vader and Tarkin and, like, Palpatine, like, everybody in the top tiers, but we don't really get to see a lot of, like, the ground people, I think it's Constable Constantine. He's one of the dickish Constantines.
Yeah.
And, like, Thrawn and Agent Callus. Like, you're really seeing, like, the much lower tier people
trying to
work
their
way up.
You're seeing stuff like we saw. You're seeing that the Empire is not very different than the stuff we saw in Clone Wars with the Jedi and the Clone Forces. So you're seeing that on the lower to ground levels, it's pretty much the same. You know, it's just like a different name. And even when you take in someone Thrawn, who's a heavy, he's a bad guy. If we went back to Clone Wars and Thrawn was working with the clones, he'd be a hero, you know? He'd be ruthless. They'd still be like, oh, he's a ruthless one, but he gets it done. But, you know, Thrawn would have, and he probably would have been working for him, too.
Yeah, so I can't wait for you to see that episode, because that was probably my favorite episode of season 3, possibly.
I guess I got two more, so it's one of the two I gotta watch next. So
yeah, you're almost, they're about to take a hiatus for winter. This coming Saturday is the last episode until January. It's an hour long one.
Ooh, awesome.
No, that's a big fat lie. The one in January is an hour long.
Oh,
one.
Oh, they're going to come back. Okay.
Yeah, so I had to think about that for a second. So
it's okay. I've sort of promised myself that I got to start Westworld sometime soon, because I've been hearing that's really good.
You know, I heard a lot of good things about it, and so my friend told me there was robots in it, and I don't see it now.
Yeah, it's pretty heavily leaning on the AI side. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm probably not gonna watch it.
Wheelhouse.
So not in my wheelhouse at all. So.
Me, I like that stuff. I hope it gets down, and I hope the AI goes. Well, I know it's Westworld. The AI is gonna go real. It's gonna go bad. It's not just going to be creepy AI. Like, I don't like the AI in the show. It's creepy. It's like, yeah, that's what the show is about. So it's going to be, like, all about the AI, what could go wrong with AI. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to watch, because a lot of my shows are about to go on a hiatus. Like, Pitch and Timeless are about to go on hiatus, and Project Runway is almost done, and
I just watched all of Rick and Morty, so I got that out.
You know, I've heard really good things about Rick and Morty.
It's great, and especially it's nerdy references out the yin yang, and it's also it's basically like a scroungy, nihilistic, humorous version of Back to the Future mixed with Doctor Who, because it's like a scientist and this kid sidekick. But it's traveling through different dimensions and alternate realities and stuff like that. And it plays loose and fast with all the things that could go wrong or weird with that. It's fun.
Yeah, a lot of my friends have watched it and, like, really love it. So, yeah, I got to figure out what I'm going to do in my winter break. There's a big, massive piece I've been really wanting to write for Once Upon a Time. But it's going to be very, very, very time heavy. And pretty much what I want to do is sit down and watch every episode and write down every unanswered question in the show, because it's by the writers of Lost. And so there's like a ton, they answer a few things here and there, but there's just like a ton of unanswered questions about stuff. And so I kind of want to do that, but it's going to be very time consuming. So I just haven't really brought myself to do that.
That's one of the ones where you have the like psycho conspiracy theories. You just clear off one wall and you start sticking the pieces of paper with words on them and pieces of yarn, linking each word to each word. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much what I'll be doing is
I got a couple projects like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to get started. Are you?
I am.
Season two. So, since we are wrapping up season two, we're going to do what we did with the season one, where we have general questions to answer about the season, and then Chris and I personally wrote questions for each other. Since there's not really a specific episode, we decided to give you a space platitude that's a little bit different. During our commentaries, I had found a fortune cookie on the floor of my job, and we used that as a space platitude, but when I flipped it over, I realized there was writing on the back, and it wasn't like, you know, like your lottery numbers. It was actually like the back of a fortune. So we decided to use that as our space platitude this week. You ready, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
This one might be my new favorite.
Rick's Northern Style Ribs are named for longtime P.F. Chang's executive, Rick Federico. In bed.
So the guy who runs the Chinese restaurant chain is Rick Federico. Ah, okay.
His Northern Style Ribs were named after him, his in bed work. So that's our platitude for the week.
Yeah, the words Northern Style Ribs make Southern people just like, I think, instinctively, reflexively, just laugh.
Well, see, I thought of you because you work in a barbecue place up north, so I was like, oh, Chris.
I mean, I don't know if our ribs are northern style. They're definitely our own flavor and type of ribs, but I don't know if that's northern style just because we're up here in the north. I mean, my bosses learned how to barbecue they were doing the circuit all over the country, so they learned all. I mean, we're definitely not doing like specifically like Kansas City style ribs or something like that, but yeah. I'm not really sure what northern style ribs are. I might have to Google that.
You have to say, I tried, when I saw my best friend, I tried North Carolina style ribs because they have like the barbecue triangle between like three cities or whatever. I was very disappointed. Wait, they use dry rub. I don't like dry rub.
I like dry rub with sauce on top of it.
Yeah, there was no sauce. It just tasted like I was eating nothing but spices.
Yeah, it's like spices on a moist beef jerky.
Yep, that's exactly what it tasted like. So I was very disappointed in you, North Carolina.
Yeah, well, you got to bring your own sauce and then slather it on top and watch them go, no. Throw some ketchup on them. So I guess this wrap up is very similar. We use the same sort of framework that we used in the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But we.
So I guess we'll just take turns reading the general questions.
Okay.
And I think if I remember correctly, like we talked about the ones that we had in common.
Right.
And then we just took. I think like you went through all yours, but if we had one in common, we talked about it together.
We both.
And then
do
I
it.
Went through all mine.
Okay.
All right,
so
cool.
You want to do that this time, except you go first, and we'll just do that with you going first and then me.
I'm good with anything.
Just because, you know, we'll be like two little kids. It's like, okay, this time you go first.
No, you go first.
And then next year at season three, I'll go first. I go first, odds. You go first, evens. And I call the front seat. Yeah.
Hey, it only counts when you can see the car. You have to see the car first before you call front seats. No back seats.
If it ends up being a race, I'm going to lose.
I don't know. I'm not as in shape as I used to be when I was younger.
Yeah, my running days are over. I shouldn't say that with my enemies listening, but it's true. My sprinting days are over. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, then you go first. Ask me.
Okay, so what are your top five favorite episodes of season two, and why?
All right.
Why,
so,
Hope? Why?
Well, the first one should probably be no surprise, because it was my, I think, my only 10 for 10 episode this season. and it's the Deserter. I feel like the Deserter, well, for one, it's just a big old Rex episode, for one.
That was on my list, too. I think it was a 9 or a 9.5 for me, something like that.
Yeah. And, to me, why it was so important was it's not only a game changer for Rex as a character, it's a kind of a turning point for all of Clone Wars. Up to this point, we've really only seen the clones, like, following orders. You know, Rex would branch out a little bit, but he usually stayed in line. Starting about here, we're starting to see, like, what happens when clones break away, and they go after having their own lives and everything. And Cut McClane is just a very interesting character. He essentially is the same person as Rex. And they have this, like, deep theological debate about how, like, they're the exact same people, and they're essentially fighting for the exact same thing. They're fighting for the people they love, which are their brothers. But now in Cut's case, he has a family to fight for as well. Well, after this point, we start seeing, like, other different clones branching out. Like, we're going to start Season 3 with the Domino Squad, and we're going to see Fives and Echo. And Fives is very, to me, very similar to Cut. We're going to see him in future seasons, like, really get very curious about, like, why things are happening and what's happening and how this war is going. And we're going to see what happens when he starts looking into that. So, like, I feel like Cut's the beginning of a change in how we're going to start seeing the clones. And some of the clones are going to stay stagnant. Wolf and Cody are not going to be changing, but this was a big deal for Rex. Rex is starting to realize what individuality is. You know, like, Cut told him, it was like, you have a number, and Rex was like, I also have a name. That's a big, massive moment for our clone captain, because, you know, up to this point, we haven't really seen that much of Rex's personality outside of Rookies. Other than that, he's mostly just been Anakin's captain. And so, this was just such an important character for the clones, this was such an important character for Rex, and on the side, we have a lot of fun stuff happening with Grievous. He's coughing around and smacking droids, and he even throws his cape on top of Obi-Wan.
Oh, we'll hear about that later, yes.
Yes. So, I mean, like, it was a good episode all around. Like, Obi-Wan was really fun, like, and it was just, that is probably, if not one of, that's one of my top favorite episodes of Clone Wars, period. Like, the end. Like, it's definitely, like, in my top five favorite episodes of all time of Clone Wars.
Well, I'm going to second pretty much what you said, and I guess what I have to add is, on top of this being really well written and, you know, just a incredibly great character arc for Rex, who is by the books, and meets a clone who's quote unquote betrayed the clones, and at the end he breaks rules himself to let him go, you know, which is, I'm sure, at that point a first for Rex, you know, and we'll see, you know, in the coming seasons if there'll be other times when he fudges the rules, but this was probably the first time that Rex fudged the rules. But on top of all that, visually, this is a really neat episode. It alternates between really stuffy, confined shots inside the house, and these beautiful, especially what struck me the most was it the nighttime shots of the farm outside when the kids discover the assassin droids, you know, sitting in their cornfield or space cornfield, and it's just very, really nice, moody, creepy atmosphere to it. It had everything, you know. It had Grievous, and you know what else? Grievous was the least interesting part of this episode, you know, and he's one of my favorites. So it's got to be really strong story otherwise to distract me away from the shiny Grievous. And not a really strong season for Grievous anyway, but yeah, I really like this episode. This was my number one of, we'll get to that.
And just, like, one more follow-up thing, because I just thought of it. We also get the introduction of Jesse and Kix. Jesse has a big thing in Season 4 during the Umbara arc. And then Kix is important because he's the only clone that makes it to the Force Awakens timeline. And so, like, we also kind of, we get a little bit of their introduction as well, which is always nice because we get to see other clones and see how they fit into the big grand scheme of things.
Unlike last season, this is the only one we've got in common, really.
I know. My honorable mention is your,
is on my
like,
list,
we have similar ones. Like, we both have one in the Geonosis arc, but they're different episodes. And we both have one with Cad Bane, but they're different episodes.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, your turn. Go next.
Okay, so my top one is your honorable mention, spoiling it, is the Zillow Beast two-parter, which I was gonna put the second Zillow Beast, but then I was like, yeah, I'll just, since you're mushing them together in the honorable mention, I'll mush them together because they belong together, like Ramalamadama, Badingadingadong.
And we did the episode together.
Huh?
And we did our episode together.
Yeah,
so
it was a double episode, that too. I love the Zillow Beast. Come on, I get a little King Kong references and Godzilla references. I get an animal. I get a mini episode of Get 'Em, where, you know, the Zillow Beast recognizes Palpatine as a dick and just goes for him, just like singles him out and like must destroy him. He's the one who's causing me this misery, and I just loved it. I loved it. I love seeing the mass destruction on Coruscant. I love that it make you feel for the monster. It had it all, and I love when Clone Wars goes full tribute to another genre. So yeah, one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, the Zillow just barely missed my list. I think that's because my other four were just slightly better, and I pretty much like the Zillow Beast for the exact same reason you do. It's just a really fun two-part. It's just all the things that you said. I also like in the second one the ensemble. Like, we have pretty much our entire cast except for Ahsoka. Ahsoka's the only one that's like not there, but like we have Obi-Wan and Anakin and Padme and Windu's there and Rex is there and Yoda's there.
Yoda.
And Ilo Sakura and like this. We pretty much have everybody there, and so it's just a big fun episode. I think just my other choices had more substance. But it was definitely up there. I love watching those episodes. They're just so much fun. So that's why it was my honorable mention, because it just barely missed the list.
And I love the design of the Zillow Beast, too. He's a good giant monster. He'd be at home in any Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're next.
My second choice for my favorite episodes was Cargo of Doom. I loved this episode because, like, we had the season one finale, and then we had Holocron Heist. So we, like, right by now, like, Cad Bane is established. We know who he is. We know he's a Jedi killer. And it's just Cad Bane just fucking up everyone's day. And I love watching him work, and we just prove, like, he's just one of the best antagonists in the series because he's so smart. And he's so good at what he does, and it's so easy for him to, like, outsmart Ahsoka and Anakin. But I feel like the stakes were so high in that, because at that point, we already saw him kill a Jedi, and Ahsoka was an original character. So you didn't know that Ahsoka was going to make it to the original trilogy series. We didn't know Ahsoka was going to make it in Rebels. So when he put her in an airlock, there was a really good chance that she was going to get shot out into space, because we just didn't know. And that's what made him so scary. It also has just one of my absolute favorite battles in Clone Wars, which is the zero gravity battle. And they're all just floating around, shooting and like falling and just like diving through space and just floating. Like, that's just such a good battle. And it's, I like, after having two episodes of introduction to Cad Bane, we just get to see him play.
And I believe this was a George Kurstick episode too.
I think it was too. So hi, George. So yeah, that one's mine. It's just great work with Cad Bane. We got to see Ahsoka and Anakin's relationship a lot too. Where even though he physically saved her life, she ended up saving him as well by showing him what he's pretty much taught her. Because he went to go after Bane, and she was just like, Patience, Master, patience. Be a Jedi, Jesus Christ. Let's go. So, like, it's just, I like the entire episode. That's one of my favorites. Though I still don't like Ahsoka's full-piece spacesuit that's almost the exact same skin color. It's the only thing I really don't like about it, because it almost looks like she's just running around naked, which I'm sure a lot of fanboys would have loved. She's 14, you sick fucks.
Just to remind you.
She's 14, you sick fucks. Anyway. At least if it's, like, Rebels Ahsoka, she's an adult. You can get all up in those Leku. What's your next episode, Chris?
Yeah, let's just keep moving, Hope, before we get any classier here. My next one is Cat and Mouse, which...
I knew you liked this episode, but I didn't know you liked it that much, so I was surprised to see this one on the list.
Well, for one, it had my favorite... It should have been Spider and the Fly, because it had my favorite Marvel superhero in it, Spider-Man. And, but that's not why I like... It was basically Sean Connery's Spider... But that's not why I like this, because once again, it was kind of a tribute show, and it was a tribute to Star Trek, I thought. For one, they had a cloaked ship, and they used the word cloaking device, which originated in Star Trek, and they used the term lasers instead of blasters in this, which was weird for Star Wars, and it was almost basically... the Mutara Nebula fight from Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. You know, it was a submarine tactical battle with one ship flying blind, basically. And I really liked it. I think this one got a 9 from me.
I think you're right on that one.
I liked it. It moved fast, and it was just I love it when the streams get crossed. What can I say?
And
they say don't cross the streams. I'm a rebel. I gotta cross the streams.
I also like seeing like how far Anakin has developed by taking us back to the first chronological episode.
Yeah.
And he was just like, God, Obi-Wan.
So unfair.
I just want to fly the ship. And then we had to see Yularen too. So. my next episode was... probably, even though I say Cargo Jim, this was probably my second choice, which is Brain Invaders. I think that is another critical turning point for the show, mostly for the character of Ahsoka. That, to me, was a really good insight of how the Jedi are viewing the war, how the war is affecting this child, how two very different Padawans between Ahsoka and Barriss are both struggling in different ways. And we get to see that the Jedi are having a lot of PTSD over this. Like, unlike previous Jedi before her, Ahsoka pretty much was brought up to fight into the Clone Wars. Like, she didn't get to, you know, be a Jedi in a peaceful time. And a lot of it, there's also a ton of foreshadowing for future seasons. If you listen to the conversation that her and Barriss are having when they're eating in the dining room before, like, all the crazy brainworms come along and stuff like that, that's nothing but foreshadowing for a future season. And a plot point that I can't really go into details about because Chris hasn't seen it yet. And so, like, that is such a very telling moment. And a lot of it is just... a lot of it is about trust, and the only reason I chose this episode a little bit more over Weapons Factory, which almost made my list too, because it was two young women pretty much making the ultimate sacrifice to save everybody else, I thought this was more telling about the psychology of the Jedi currently, opposed to here's two awesome female characters sacrificing themselves. So I just really love Brain Invaders and seeing all, like, the little roomies and, like, get to the clones and the poor clones that all died in that. And we got to see Kit Fisto.
Yep.
He's beautiful. So, except for what you found in the prequels, he's not very pretty in that. So, yeah. What's your next one?
I like our order here because mine sort of goes along with yours. I picked Legacy of Terror, which is another Geonosis one. But I think we're seeing a pattern here with me. This is the one that's like Aliens. It's got the alien queen in it, you know, the Geonosian queen and the zombie Geonosians. It's just flat out horror, you know, and I love the Queen. She is giant and hostile. So hostile, you know, when she talks, she just like shakes with anger. Yeah, so I was in my, you know, I was a hog and slop for this one. And that's but you know, the ones on either side of it too are great episodes, but this one won because of the Queen, basically. Queen took this one over the top for me.
I think we could probably argue that it's between probably Cad Bane, the Geonosis arc, and the Mandalorian arc being the best three arcs of season two.
Yeah, and it's among the best arcs of the whole show, I'll bet.
Yeah, because I almost put Landing on Point Rain on here too. I had to think about that one as well because it's just an awesome D-Day invasion.
Yeah.
It's so good. Speaking of D-Day.
All right.
Today's Pearl Harbor, so
yeah, when we're recording this, yep.
It's the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, so yeah.
All right, you're up next.
My next one is The Voyage of Temptation. I love this episode because it's the love boat of doom. No, but like in all seriousness, you know, up to this point in Clone Wars, Obi-Wan's been kind of like very like brave, stoic, never messing up, and he's always perfect, and Anakin and Ahsoka are always the ones that are like messing things up, and Obi-Wan's always perfect. And then we get Satine comes in and just ruffles everything about Obi-Wan. And Anakin just loves it.
Yep.
Loves it so much. And so, like, on one hand, I love seeing Obi-Wan just almost out of his depth, because you can tell he clearly cares for this woman. He's struggling with his Jedi ways. He even said that if she would have asked, he would have left the Jedi Order for her. And then we see Satine, who's a different kind of politician than Padme, because we've seen a lot of Padme, but, like, Satine's a queen. She is a queen, right?
I believe so, yes.
Duchess. No, she's a duchess.
Duchess, yeah.
I had to think about that for a sec. And she's a duchess, but she's also different because she's a pacifist, but unlike our Lermans, like, she'll actually defend herself. But she's smart, and she's witty, and she's strong, and she's a hell of a woman. And I don't think Obi-Wan knows what to do with her half the time. And so it was, I thought the, like, you know, the first Mandalore art episode was all set up, and I feel like the second one, it was good, but it wasn't up to par of this one. And so just between the stories of Obi-Wan and Satine, together they just made just a killer episode. I absolutely love them. And I love that couple, and they just need a kiss and have all the babies. What was your last one, Chris?
Well, I have one more on my list, and that is Holocron Heist, and that's my Cad Bane episode, which is, I guess, maybe kind of a weird Cad Bane episode, but it's got the Jedi Library in it, which I love, and it's got Cad Bane doing his thing, but I like that it's an episode basically about the pompousness and overconfidence of the Jedi getting shown up. You know, they get their ass handed to them in this episode on their home turf by Cad Bane. And it's pretty sweet to watch. And you're supposed to be on the Jedi side.
Yeah. I also like the fact that Seth Green is a robot.
And it's got Seth Green as the robot who gets all sorts of sadistic things happening to him. And reacting to them. So that makes it fun, too. But, yeah, I like getting a little preview of, you know, of the Jedi, you know, being kind of basically flawed, and those flaws being easily exploitable to the, you know, to someone who's smart enough. And Cad Bane is definitely smart and ruthless enough to take advantage of them. And it's another one of those ones where it just, you know, it flies by like 10 minutes, you know, it's all action. It just rolls right along, which makes it feel very Star Warsy to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And then my very last one, and I had to think about this one too, because like this was the slot that was stuck between like four episodes I couldn't figure out. But then when I really thought about it, I really enjoyed Death Trap with the introduction of Boba Fett. And I think the reason why I enjoyed it so much is I had kind of forgotten about this three-part finale with Fett. Like, I knew there was this episode, but I completely forgot how it, like, led into, like, Aura Sing and all that stuff.
Right.
And so I really enjoyed this episode. And I think a reason why I really liked it so much was it ties in very well with Rebels. And I think that's why I liked it more. I mean, we already said that, like, you know, early in the episode, that the Empire pretty much runs like how the clones ran. And I could see a lot of similarities between the clone cadets training and, like, you know, like Wedge and Sabine, like, pretending like to train in the Empire as cadets. And I really liked that kind of correlation. But I also just love seeing the baby clones!
I was wondering when we were going to hear baby clones come out.
Baby clones! They're so many babies! But they're so adorable, like when they walk on the ship and they see the big clones and they're all just like, wow, you're only 4 years older than us! Wow! You're so cute! But I also, like, I think I feel like I appreciate the Boba Fett story a lot more now. And, like, seeing how he could have had a family with the clones, but he walked away from it. And seeing actual Queen Aura Sing come in and just, like, just ruin everybody's day. And just, it's setting up this whole, the biggest wet blanket of the season and the season finale with Mace Windu. It's just, it was... Getting into the psychology of Boba Fett, I think, was very important for the show. He's one of the original trilogy characters that we just didn't have a lot on. And so I think it was very smart in this season finale for Filoni to go, okay, it's Boba Fett time. We're going to develop this character. And George Lucas pretty much trusting him with that and being like, okay, do it, man. I trust you. And we got really great storytelling. It's just... Out of the three-part finale, this was definitely by far my favorite. Because of the baby clowns. Baby clowns! So, yeah. Those are my five with my honorable mention. So, next question, Chris.
A lot easier.
What character would you make disappear forever from season two, and why?
McGruff the Crime Dog, otherwise known as Castus, the... whiny bounty hunter.
Just because he was whiny?
Yeah, he's just a jerk.
And he didn't do anything!
Right. Well, there's other characters that were jerks in this, but they were, you know, but they kind of grew on me because they were adding to the story. This guy was just like the annoying guy that you were waiting to get killed, you know?
Yeah.
Even though he sounds like the trusted McGruff the Crime Dog.
Only you can... That's Smokey the Bear.
That's Smokey the Bear, yes.
I was about to say, only you can prevent forest fires.
I guess Chewbacca's the closest thing to Space Smokey the Bear. Well, who did... I knew who you were going to put down, because I remember...
You know, I was going to put down Castus originally, too. And so I decided to do something a little bit differently, because there was also another character that was just like, ugh, ugh.
I remember...
And Dave Filoni was correct in the episode Futurette when he says there's no such thing as a nice doge. So, or a nice Doug. We've got to see a nice Doug, and that's true. So I put down Doge Urus. You know, we got to see in the prequel Sabalba, who was just, like, evil, and, he, like, I thought of it, you remember Snivy, like, or from Rocky Bully?
Yes.
No, that's not his name. Was it Snivy? The mustache curl?
Snidely and Whiplash, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's so how who Sabalba was like. At least with Doge, he was a politician, so he was, like, way smarter. But he's still just a jerk. Like, yeah. He had, like, really no intentions of helping the Jedi. He was in it only for himself. And he was just like, hey, let's just kill this massive beast and kill all the animals. It's like if you got, like, a big giant panda and you're just like, oh, this is the last panda. Let's just kill it.
Let's just pour some gas. Basically, it was just like, we'll pour fuel on it and burn it to death.
Yeah, so I was just... Doge Urus was just a jerk. So, but yeah, Castus was my first choice, and when I saw that you put Castus, I was like, I can put someone else there. I have someone ready, so.
All right, here's one from last year, too. Has your view of the second season changed since you first watched it?
You know, I think I appreciate the bounty hunters a lot more this time around, especially getting into, like, bounty hunters like Boba Fett and, like, really appreciating Aura Sing and stuff like that. And I think they add just a very dangerous level to the Clone Wars. Pretty much they just go with whoever pays them the most. So, I mean, at any time, the Senate could be like, yeah, let's hire Cad Bane. But, like, someone could always outbid them, and Bane can turn on you in an instant, because it's just like, that's a better deal, let's do it. And so I think they added just a very, very dangerous new level to where, I mean, they're the Dark Horses, they're the wild card. You don't know what they're going to do. Like, you know, the Jedi could be on, like, a routine, like, let's save the planet, and Bane just pops out of nowhere and just starts shooting them down. Like, you never know when they're going to pop up, and that's what makes them so scary. Also, the other thing that really changed for me is, I remember, I talked about it when we went over the episodes, the first time I saw the Mandalorian arc, I was very bored. And I think it was because I saw them in a weekly format, like, I would see an episode and then have a week, and, like, see an episode and another week there. This is probably about the third or fourth time I've watched the Mandos when we watched it for our show. But I remember the second time I watched it straight through, like, all three episodes in one night. And so it flows so much better if you watch it straight through. And I really, liked having this kind of third neutral party in this war. Because you have the good guys, the bad guys, and then you have this neutral of, like systems that don't even want any part of the war. And that's another added layer, because now we have a third party, and Mandalore is a big deal. Like, I didn't know as much about Mandalore the first time I watched it, so I didn't really get what a big deal Mandalore was. Now I totally get it, and there's so much more to go with it. And, like, they have a very rich history that are entwined with the Jedi and entwined with the Sith, and they've had all these wars, and it's a big, they're a big deal, and I get that now. So I think that was the other thing that I really got this time around, is I really understood the politics of Mandalore a lot more, and I really appreciated them more. What about you? How has your view of Season 2 changed since you first watched it?
Well, my first, you know, initial thought was, it kind of didn't. I kind of, like, the feeling I had was like, oh yeah, I remember this. So it was sort of just sort of backing up and reminding me of how I felt about it before. But I definitely remember being kind of disappointed in the Mandalore arc the first time, and I enjoyed it a lot more this time, and I enjoyed the politics a lot more this time. So I think that changed a little bit, but for the most part, it was just sort of a flashback for me, because, and there were a lot of real high points in this one for me too, with you know, the Zillow Beast and with the Alien Queen and stuff like that. There was a lot of, like, horror aspects of it this season. We even had those, honorable mention, those, like, spider droids, you know, as a more horrific element. So, yeah, I just sort of was, like, going, like, oh, yeah, I remember. I was more surprised when they first came out. Like, the first time I might have been a little more exuberant over some of the stuff, because I just, you know, I was not expecting a Godzilla movie, you know, so, yeah.
I think also this season, where season one was very Adventure of the Week, this season slowly slid into, like, darker territory.
Yeah.
Like, because we open the city season, and kind of like in the first third, we have the second battle of Geonosis, which is like, here's this massive D-Day battle, here's these young girls sacrificing themselves, here are these girls having PTSD, this is becoming a war. And then we also have the bounty hunters on top of it, who are adding a new element. Then we bring in Mandalore, which is bringing in the politics more, and then we end with the bounty hunters at the end. So I feel like we're starting to slide more into the darker PG-13 stuff, but we're not there yet. I mean, we had an episode about Fraggles. Come on.
Right.
You know, that Imbo almost got on my honorable mentions, because, good lord, I just really fucking love Imbo. Love Imbo. But, I mean, like, I think we're starting to get into that darker territory. We're just not there yet. But I think about season two is about the end of the first year of the war. I think it's kind of in that area of time. So, like, we're pretty much about a year into this war, and it's just going to go more and more downhill as we go.
Yeah, like, the dark stuff in this has been, like, more like horror movie stuff. It hasn't been as dark as what, like, war can be dark, you know what I mean? It's more like, oh, God, these monsters are scary, rather than war. I mean, there was some war as hell aspects of this, but there's a lot more war as hell to be had.
Yeah, I think pretty much the second Battle of Geonosis was really capturing, like, the war element the most.
Mm.
Especially with landing at Point Rain. That's such a good episode. Another honorable mention. All right, did I ask the last one? No, you asked it. So, Chris, next question. Who is the strongest slash best developed character in Season 2, and who was the weakest for you?
Strongest, I'm given to Satine.
Really?
Because she's new, but at the same time, she really carved out her character in what little we saw of her. We saw her in, what, 3 episodes, right? Some total?
Yeah, and then, like, little cameos here and there, but yeah, right. Just 3 episodes.
But in those 3 episodes, she's really, like, you know, she's really a fully formed character, and she was a great character. So I'm giving her strongest. And weakest, I'm giving Anakin with caveats. Because it's not as if Anakin was a weak character. There was the neat moment that you mentioned earlier that where we saw him way back at the beginning of the timeline. So you got to sort of contrast him with this, but he really, he just doesn't, he's almost like a sideline character this season, it seems to me, for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting episodes where, like, you know, he's pinned under a piece of debris with Windu, you know, and...
And another episode where he's just, like, being jealous towards Padme because she's on date.
Yeah, he's just playing the schlubby boyfriend or he's just a sheer action element where it's just like, all right, we're going to go get through this mission, you know? So he's kind of one of those characters where you really don't want to have him always developing because he can only develop so much because he's in between 2 movies. So, yeah, so I thought he was kind of the weakest character. You know, I mean, there were weaker characters if you want to go for, like, you know, minor characters or people who just show up. But as of the main characters of this season, I think he was the weakest. What about you?
So I have a 4-way tie.
Of course you do. I knew it.
The thing is, it's all for completely different reasons. So my tie was between Obi-Wan, Hondo, Rex, and Ahsoka. And so for Obi-Wan, just having that introduction of Satine and just getting that little backstory and seeing that he's not perfect was a really big deal. I loved Hondo in the Boba Fett arc when he met Boba. And we got to see a new side of Hondo. He has a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
or an ex-girlfriend. But we also got to see a very soft, tender side of Hondo, which I don't think we ever see again. Like, that was the only time we ever really got a very tender side, and almost a fatherly side of him, when he was like, after Aura left him, he was like, Boba, you gotta listen to the Jedi now. Like, they're in control now. You gotta do it, and that's what your dad would want to do. And, like, him and Jango were friends. Like, that was a huge moment that pretty much I don't think we ever go back to. Rex and the Deserter, I've already talked about the Deserter and Rex, so if you want to hear that again, rewind like 15 minutes. But so that's obvious right there. And then Ahsoka, but mostly Ahsoka in the Geonosis arc. I think that's a way new, different side of her character that we've never seen before. And once again, just introducing this PTSD element to this young girl, seeing this kind of weakness in the Jedi happening. So I think between those 4, for very different reasons, I thought they were each the strongest in completely different ways. And then for me, my weakness is, here's the surprise, is Ahsoka after the Geonosis arc. After that arc ends, she really doesn't do anything for the rest of the season.
That's true.
I mean, she's really stagnant. Like, even with, like, Lightsaber Lost, she didn't learn the fucking lesson. The lesson was patience, and she walks in at the end going, your lightsaber's the most important thing ever. Brr, brr, brr. Like, after Geonosis ended, she didn't really do anything for the rest of the season. And so she didn't grow, she didn't change. So to me, like, after that, she just didn't do anything for me. I mean, I keep thinking of the episode Bounty Hunters when they're training all the Fraggles and they're on a time limit. She talks to, like, the one bounty hunter in the suit and she just casually walks away. And I'm like, no, Ahsoka, you're in a hurry. Pirates are coming. Run your little ass. So, I mean, just... For me, after Geonosis ended, the weakest character to me was for Ahsoka. She just didn't do anything for the final 2/3 of the season.
It's a shocker, Hope.
I know. Luckily, I don't think that's true for the rest, because season 3, we get the Citadel. Season 4, we get a love interest. Season 5, we get Onderon. And season 6 is... Oh, well, I can't tell you about season 6, so...
Nope.
But, actually, season 6 is another one where Ahsoka doesn't do much for reasons. Anyway.
Asking the next one, yeah. What was your least favorite episode, also known as What 30 Minutes Do You Want Back in Your Life?
Okay, so there's a first half and a second half to this episode. My least favorite episode was easily Greaves Intrigued. Yeah, because, like, nothing really happened. They repeated the same battle, like, 3 times in the episode. It wasn't even a good Grievous episode. We got, like, two, yep. like, Adi Gallia and another Jedi whose name I can't even remember just because he didn't leave an impression on me. Like, they really didn't do anything. But that being said, that was my favorite episode that we recorded just because we had a 30-40 minute tangent about pagan festivals and pudding wrestling,
yeah,
and penis piercings.
Yeah, we had to put a little filler into that episode.
And that was probably one of my top 3 favorite episodes that you and I ever recorded together.
Yeah, Grievous Intrigue. I mean, you know me. I'm a connoisseur of Grievous. So when you have a weak Grievous episode, it's, you know, doubly, triply, quadruply disappointing to me. And this one was just kind of a mess. It didn't have a flow to it. It was, like you said, just sort of the same 3 battles over and over again. Not really anything to learn from it or to add to any of the characters. It was just sort of, you know... I mean, I like those episodes that are just sort of a battle or, you know, gain the quest or, you know. But this one just seemed sort of slapped together. I think it's one of my lowest scoring episodes so far.
I think so, too. I mean, I think we said it in the episode that it was all just set up for the deserter. And I think in our deserter episode, we said that Grief's Intrigue could have been about the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then... Like, you could have had a 2-part Rex episode instead.
Yep.
So, yeah, that one didn't do it for me.
It was just kind of spinning the wheels.
Yeah. Well, Chris, who would you have liked to see more of this season?
I would have liked to have seen more of the big 3, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka, either together as the 3 of them, a la the Star Trek trilogy, you know, the Star Trek trio, or even in groups of 2 more. Although, you know, they do have adventures together and stuff, but they don't... A lot of it seems to be them separate from each other or just sort of in the background, especially Anakin. And I would have liked more Cad Bane. Cad Bane really came in strong, and I would have liked to have seen him pop up a little towards the end as sort of, you know, just to even sweeten the pot some more at the end, you know?
Yeah.
Because the other bounty hunters that showed up are good, and they're bad guys. Cad Bane is badder than them, though. You know, Cad Bane is way more of he's a Darth Vader-like threat. So maybe it was a good idea to keep him in the background after bringing him out strong, but I would have liked to have seen more of him. It was good to have Hondo back, but I would have liked to have seen Hondo and Cad Bane butt heads a little bit.
Yeah, that would have been fun. Actually, that would have been really fun.
It would have been really fun because it would have made you fear for Hondo's life.
But the thing is, I think Hondo is so smart. Like, playing dumb is his
right.
Boy.
Right, he would be a good foe for Cad Bane.
Or maybe, like, him and, like, Cad Bane are actually, like, really good friends. They know how each other works. So Hondo's the distractor while Cad Bane gets the shit done.
Yeah. I could see, like, if they ever cross paths, they could cross paths working together and cross paths working against each other and be just like, yeah, no hard feelings, you know?
Yeah.
We had different agendas this time, so that would have been interesting.
You know, and about the Golden Trio, as I like to call them, which is a Harry Potter thing, I think the only episode that they were actually fully together was Bounty Hunters. Because, like, you're right, for the rest of the season, they were always separated.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all 3 and landing at Point Rain, but they were all in different places. So when your 3 main characters are only in really one episode together for the entire season, that's not the best.
So 22 episodes or so, you know, so.
Yeah. Though I will say I like getting to see them work with other other Jedi. Like, Obi-Wan worked a lot with Luminara. We got to see Anakin a lot with Windu. We got Joe Camel with Ahsoka. So it was nice with them being separated. We did get to see other Jedi. But I agree, I did miss them together as well.
So what about you?
I would love to learn more about Cut Laquan and his family. This is their only appearance, was in that one episode, and I kind of want to know what happened to them. I want to know if they're still around. I mean, obviously Cut would have double-aged, and his family would have easily outlived him. But I would have loved to just... Sue just seems like such a really cool character, and Cut was just so suave and so firm in his morals and beliefs. So I really wanted to get more of that. I think there was a little shout-out to Cut and his family in a Rebels episode, mostly just because it was the episode The Last Battle where Rex was pretty much battling out with a droid to end the Clone Wars officially, and he mentioned clones, you know, not always following orders and, like, doing their own thing. So I think that was a very subtle shout-out to Cut Laquan, which was nice to see that Rex always remembered that. Even in his old age, in his old, adorable, grunkle age. But, I mean, like, I definitely wish we got more with the family at some point, somewhere. Like, maybe they revisited him. Maybe if we ever get a Rex book, which I would love, like, maybe after Order 66, Rex goes back there or something. I also think it'd be terribly tragic if Cut's chip triggered during Order 66 and something happened to his family. Like, maybe he thought Sue was Aayla Secura or something and just gunned down his family. Like, that would be terribly tragic. Why am I talking about this now still?
You're just going to upset yourself, Hope.
I know, right? And then the other two characters I would love to see, and I would love to see more of Worra Singh, mostly, and Cad Bane. Those two, mostly, and a lot of it, I just want backstory. I just want to know more about who they are, how they got there, what makes them tick. Because I know Aura has a ton of stuff in the EU, and I think in the EU, she trained a little bit under the Jedi because she was Force-sensitive. I think. Think is the very key word here. And so that's how she's kind of, like, able to be, like, quick and stuff like that and have really good senses. But Cad Bane, like, I just want to know, like, what makes him tick. Like,
What's
why is he a bounty hunter? I want to know about his family. I want to know how he got there. I want to know how he got his hat. I want to know everything about Cad Bane. So... yeah, like, that's definitely, like, I just really want more backstory on those two. I would love it. Love it!
Cad Bane had that whole outfit designed.
He was born in that outfit. He came out with a tiny little suit. Oh, what if they hatched out of eggs and he hatched out with a tiny, like, baby bonnet and he threw it off his head and found the first big hat he could find and put it on his head and he kept it all his life?
It would have been really big if he was just a little Cad Bane.
Oh, I bet he was adorable.
He looked like Carl in the early Walking Deads. Ooh. All right, so I'm doing the next question, right? You just did the last one.
No, you did it, so it's my turn.
Okay.
Chris, what was your top what the fuck moment?
It was the zombie queen Geonosian. In a good way, though. It was, what the fuck? Is this really happening? This is too good to be true.
We saw her give birth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the runner-up would be Vagina Eyes Mitten Hands.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Vagina Eyes Mitten Hands.
Yeah, that would be my runner-up.
I totally forgot about her.
How?
Oh, gal pals. I forgot about my gal pals, TM. And I hope they're doing good, because I really liked the character of Cassie Cryer, too, like, and her being a Jango jumper, and... Actually, I just want to know more about that race in general, because one of the Inquisitors in Season 2 of Rebels was a Jango jumper, but we never got to see him without his mask on. So I just would love to know more about Jango. They just sound cool. Jumpers.
They sound like Jango Fett's fan club. Buckle bunnies who follow the rodeo riders.
Yeah, buckle bunnies.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so my what the fuck moment... And this is going to make me sound so petty. And just remind you, I'm a girl. I'm a girl. I'm a lady. So, I am still not over Padme's dinner dress in Senate Spy. Because, seriously, how the fuck does the thing stay on?
It was not practical.
There's no straps. It's just, there's no back straps. It's not. not like it. It's a flap on the front and nothing on the back and nothing on the neck and nothing on the shoulders. Like, there is no, like, she has to be, like laced, like, you know, like, just taped to death on her breast.
Space gaffer's tape.
Like, double-sided space tape.
Yep.
Because, and I can hear, like, Nina Garcia and Heidi Klum from Project Runway screaming about the boobies, like, flopping out everywhere. And because they always talk about, like, if nothing fits the boobs, they're like, the boobs are swimming in there. Well, there's not swimming because the thing shouldn't be staying up because there's gravity in the world. There's a thing called gravity. That dress makes me so angry. I hate that dress. That dress was designed by men.
It might have had some anti-grav built into it. I don't know. I'm just trying to no prize it here.
Okay, so we have all the technology in space to keep a dress stuck to Padme, but she dies because she just gives up on life.
Right. She's got a dress that makes force fields around her boobs to work like a bra and keep them in the dress.
But yet, she dies because
she dies of a broken heart.
That's bullshit!
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Bullshit! Bullshit.
Alright, speaking of bullshit, Hope, we're going into the AI department. The best
Nothing will ever beat Phantom Menace C-3PO. Like, I physically thought I was going to throw up in our commentary. Like, I thought I was going to throw up every time I saw it move. Like, it was, that was horrific. Oh, I'm getting nauseous just thinking about it.
So it's the best robot or droid moment. What was your best robot or droid moment?
You know, we had the same one.
Yeah, we did.
So I'm going to let you answer that one because I had a second follow-up one that went with it too.
I liked R2-D2 dropping shit on top of the bounty hunters.
Me too.
I liked that whole sequence, but I just liked the part where he's just chucking things down on him. Here, have a little bit of this. Oh, you like that? Here, have a little something heavier. Oh, here, have this. This explodes now. That was total R2, you know?
Yeah, I like that one. And then my kind of honorable mention were the nanny droids in Children of the Force, and they were, like, shielding themselves with babies and trying to shank the Jedi with the other hand. Like, that was crazy.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, they were, like, just shanking nanny droids, so...
My other honorable mention would be the spider robots that attack the clones.
Oh, yeah! That was probably one of my favorite Rex moments.
And it was a good R2 moment, too.
Yeah, because he's the reason Red Eye died.
Yep.
Good job, R2. Well, Chris, this is a brand new question, because we took out one of our very season one questions that only really fit season one. And so we added a new one. And so we're starting to see Palpatine move his pieces in this very long chess game of evil that is the Clone Wars. But we're only two seasons in. So, Chris, do you think that it's too fast or it's moving along nicely?
Oh, I think it's going along quite nicely. I think you could even throw more in there. You know, in my opinion, you can't have enough of... He's got to have so many plates spinning that you could have him work in plots in all different directions here. So, yeah, no problem with Palpatine, you know, any kind of hints as to what Palpatine's up to. I want more. I love it. I love seeing what he's doing behind the scenes. So, give me more.
Yeah, the reason I asked this question, because I do recall you, I think it was maybe the Zillow Beast episode, but it might have been a different one. Like, I remember you saying that you felt like it was too fast. Or too soon, or something like that. It might not have been the Zillow Beast episode. It might have been one of the Satine episodes.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember, but yeah, they seemed. I can't remember what it was, but it was. I think it was Windu. It was Windu or Yoda. Somebody gave Palpatine, or Palpatine said something in front of Windu or Yoda. And they gave him a look, and it was just like, yeah, that's too soon for them to start going like, you know, they should it was too soon for him to be dropping hints in front of Jedi too, I think. Zillow Beast definitely wasn't too soon. I love that. Get him.
get him. For me, I really like it too, because I think kind of from the original trilogy and the prequels, Palpatine's almost like this mustache-twirling villain, where he's just like, oh, I'm evil! Ah, I'm going to throw a Senate thing at you! And so what I like about Clone Wars is it's kind of really fleshing it out, and it's showing, like, the slow-moving pieces here and there. And, like, he's okay losing pawns because he still has, like, a king in his back pocket that he can, like, slide across the board. So I do like it. The only thing that really irks me about Palpatine is it actually has nothing to do with Palpatine. I get so pissed off seeing what idiots the Jedi are. They're such idiots, and, like, you can see why they fell. And so sometimes I just want to, like, just shake them and, like, just strangle them with their wet blankets and get them to wake up. Because, I mean, these characters are supposed to be the heroes, and they're supposed to be smart. And I know that's the point. Like, the point is the Clone Wars is the downfall of the Jedi Order, and, like, we're watching it, episode by episode, pretty much. It should be called Star Wars, The Downfall of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That should be the name of this show.
Downfall of the Jedi. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, that should be the name of the show. So that's about the only way I don't like all this point stuff with Palpatine, because I would rather see the Jedi just being really, like, this idiotic and oblivious in later seasons, where they're just so blinded by the war and everything. So I think this early on, they should still be pretty smart. Pretty damn smart at this point, so that's the only thing that really gets me.
I think they were dumb before that. They just hadn't been exploited by a Palpatine yet. Just waiting for a Palpatine to come along and take advantage of their weaknesses.
I thought you were about to say WikiLeaks.
They're space WikiLeaks. They dropped all those space WikiLeaks on Palpatine at the last minute, but it didn't even matter.
Yeah, he was just like, ha-ha, you're dead! So that's the end of our general questions for each other. And so what we did is we wrote questions for each other. I think I gave you 4 because I gave you kind of a follow-up from the last season. So how about I ask you first, and then we'll take turns from yours, and that way we can end with yours.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right.
All right. So your first question, Chris. From Zillow's to Mando's to Geonosis, we covered a lot of big stories this season. Are there any stories you wish we had more time with, or any that you felt that we spent too much time on?
We might have spent, like, one episode too much on the politics, and might have had a little too much windowing, but at the same time, I'm kind of split on the windowing, because I kind of like the wet blanketing, because it gives us something to make fun of. It's become a thing. I would have liked to have seen Cad Bane butt heads with some more, with other bounty hunters. And some more Jedi. Definitely some more Asajj Ventress.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You can't have enough Asajj Ventress. Put her in there as much as you can. No, I like the way the stories were. I like that we had... I mean, this season was just sort of like a candy sampler pack of different kinds of Star Wars stories. So I was very happy with that. It was way more so than the first season. So, yeah, I wouldn't change it too awful lot of the kind of stories there were. All right, so we'll go to your first question, which it's coming back from last year. And
okay.
It's like, give a brief summary of Rex Evolution or Rexvolution over season 2. This was this came back because this was a popular part of the episode last time.
I'm so nervous about this because of that very reason. So,
take a deep breath.
Yeah, you guys liked it so much, so I hope I can do it justice. So, if you didn't hear our season 1 recap, pretty much I am just going to go episode by episode and just give a summary of what Rex is doing. So, anyway, okay, let's do this. So, we pretty much opened the season, and Anakin was just like, Rex, there's a war going on. And he's like, I know, sir. We had an entire season of this. And he's like, but Rex, there's a badass. He may be possibly more badass than I am. His name is Cad Bane. And Rex is just like, huh, at least his name's not Rex, because Rex is Latin for king, and I'm the king of the show, and everyone agrees. And Anakin was just like, damn, son. So they have to go after Cad Bane, right? And so we start off with Cad Bane stealing holocrons, and they gotta go after it, and Rex was like, huh, I'm glad I can read. What? Anyway, it's because I'm a soldier, and I'm smart, and soldiers are really smart, and I promise you I'm not actually making fun of soldiers. They really protect our country so we can do podcasts like this. Anyway, so they get to Cad Bane's ship, and Rex is like, wow, this is fancier than Grievous's, probably because it's not on fire yet. and Rex is just floating through space, and they arrive, and so they land, and Cat Bane's all like, "You'll never catch me, Kappas!" And Rex is like, "Oh, what's this guy? He's so cool, though." And so Cat Bane's just like, "Aha, I'm gonna turn off the gravity," and Rex is just like, "Oh, fuck, I'm floating now! Oh, God!" And so they have a shoot-em-up battle, and Ahsoka almost gets shot out of an airlock, and Rex is just almost like, "Oh, man, my future girlfriend, I can't lose you now, even though we're, like, the same age, but I look 12 million years older than you." And then Rex and the Cat Bane gets away, and there's a hurt little clone on the ship, and when they get back to the base, Rex is like, "Are you okay, friend?" And the clone's just like, "Oh, I'm fine." And, "Oh my god, it's Cat Bane!" And Rex is just like, "Oh my god, you don't bleed. Us clones don't bleed that color. That's not the color of our blood. It's Cat Bane!" But Cat Bane gets away. So while Ahsoka and Anakin are having a trip on Mustafar trying to save some Jedi babies, Rex is probably at the day spa. So, luckily, he doesn't get to go to Senate Spy, right? Because he would probably just be like, "Dude, Anakin, I'm not allowed to date, and I know that you're not supposed to treat a lady that way. So you need to kind of like shut up." But they didn't have time to talk about his bad date with Padme because they had to land on Geonosis. So Rex was having a really good day until they got called to Geonosis. So they were flying back and he was just like, "Man, at least I'm all relaxed from my day spa." And they get there and things are flying and people are dying and clones are hanging out of like burning buildings. And Rex is just like, "Oh fuck, there's a big ass wall." And Ahsoka and Anakin were talking and he was like, "Girls, you're both pretty. Can we climb the big ass wall now?" So Anakin and Ahsoka go up on the big ass wall. They're like surrounded by droids, and Rex sees them. And he's like, "Jesse, Tix, Fives is probably there too. I need to go save them. So cover me." So he climbs up there, and he saves Anakin and Ahsoka. And how does Anakin save him? Like pay him? He throws him off the fucking wall, and Rex just screams the whole way down. And Ahsoka and Anakin think that's really funny, and Rex is just like, "Fuck you." So then we get to Weapons Factory, and they really need to just, like, blow up this thing, right? They need to blow up the Weapons Factory. But, like, what was actually really good in this episode is the fact that when Ahsoka and Barrows actually set off the tank to blow up the Weapons Factory, we get a really good moment of Rex, like, standing on top of his tank watching it explode. And he's just going, "Oh, my God, my future girlfriend! I need you! You're the reason I survived Order 66! Come back!" But Ahsoka gets saved, and then Rex carries her like a prince to a ship so she can go get medical treatment. And she's all just like, "Wow, Rex, thanks." And he's just like, "No problem, babe. We'll make out later when you're well and your lips are like not burned off your body." She's like, "I thought you liked burnt lips." He's like, "Yeah, I do."
Sorry. Where's that going?
I don't know. Legacy of Terror, right? And, you know, Rex wasn't in that episode when I think about it, because Cody went down there, so Rex is probably back at the day spa. Anyway, so we have to go after Grievous, right? Because he took a Jedi, but he was just like, "Oh, I'm Grievous. I stole this Jedi." And Kenobi and Anakin were like, "Well, I guess we have to go get the Jedi then. We can't even remember his name, because that's not really important." And Rex is just like, "Okay, let's go." And so they down Grievous's ship, right? And then as they're chasing after, like, some, like, scout droids and stuff, Jesse, Kix, and Rex are, like, zooming through the grasslands, and Rex gets hit by a bullet, and the fangirls scream, and they're freaking the fuck out. And so they get there, and they chase him down, and, like, Kix is just like, "Oh, my God, we have to save Rex. He's, like, the most important character in the show." And Jesse and Hardcase are like, "Yes, we have to save Rex." So they take him to a farm, right? And there's this Twi'lek woman there, and she's all just like, "Get off my farm, you will die." That was my terrible attempt at a French accent. I'm so sorry. People love France. And Jesse was like, no, man, you don't understand. This is the most important character of the show. We have to save him." And she's like, "Okay, I have a thing out back." And so later that night, Rex is getting kisses from, like, farm animals, because they all know what a beautiful Disney prince he is. And he wakes up, and there's another clone there! And he's all just like, "Hey, I'm Cut Laquane, and I'm a free man." And, like, and Rex is just like, "This isn't 1860. It's not like we have slavery here or anything. This isn't America." And Cut's like, "Nah, man, it is slavery. The Republic are dogs. They own us. We're all gonna die for them. And I'm not gonna do that anymore, man. Did you see my hot wife? Did you see my freakish mutant children? that everybody thought was mine, but that timeline don't add up. Those aren't my kids. I adopted them. And Rex is just like, whoa, I never thought about a family before. I could, like, not die a virgin. I wonder what Ahsoka thinks about that. Huh, that'd be really cool. Thanks for telling me that, man. He was like, nah, man, remember what I taught you, Rex? And don't turn me in, bro. And Rex was just like, don't worry, bro, I won't turn you in. So he gets back to Coruscant, right? And he has coffee with Ahsoka. And Ahsoka's like, man, I lost my lightsaber. And Rex is like, aw, bless your heart. So then we go to Mandalore. And Satine, like, Rex is just sitting there going, Anakin, who's that? And he's like, that's Obi-Wan's girlfriend. And Rex goes, damn, she fine. And then Satine talks, and Rex's and all the men are very fearful of her. So then they go on the Love Boat of Doom, and there's some spiders, and I don't like spiders, so Rex, once again, pulls out his blaster, the glorious prince, and he just goes up and he's like, you, Spider-Man! And Peter Parker's like, what? And he's like, not you, Spider-Man, the robot Spider-Man! There's too many Spider-Mans in the universe, we don't need a Miles Morales, we don't need Peter Parker, we don't need Gwen Stacy, there are too many Spider-Mans in here, but I'm gonna go after the robot one. And Peter Parker's like, okay, bye. So he, like, jumps out, and the Spider-Man leaps off the wall, and the Spider-Robot is falling down on Rex, and Rex catches it in his arms, and he grapples it. Meanwhile, Anakin's just watching going, damn, son, go Rex. And Rex is just like, I got this, bro. I got this. And he takes off his helmet and he shakes out his long, luscious blonde hair. And he's like, I got this. And he pow drives the robot down. And he punches it, and it's like everyone that pops out, the tiny little spiders, pop, 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 pop. And he's just wailing on it. Just bam, spider dead. Bam, spider dead. Bam, spider dead. And he stands up with his blaster, and he's like, bam, bam, motherfucker. And he just shakes the shit out of the spider, and he saves everybody's life. And he gets up there, and then, like, Satina's just like, who saved my life? And Rex is like, I did, ma'am. And Satina was like, thank you. What do you want?
Oh, here we go again.
I'm so sorry, I'm making myself laugh. What do you want, young man? He's like, I don't want nothing. It's my duty, ma'am. She's like, you're a very brave clone. Thank you for saving our lives. And then some stuff happens, like some senators die, and then there's another Spider-Man, but it's not a Spider-Droid. And he's not even there with bounty hunters, man. Like, he doesn't even get to hang out with Hondo, and Hondo is like, you know what I need more in my life? Rex. And so, he finally comes back, and, like, Mace Windu is just like, hey, motherfucker, you're gonna go fight some droids. We're gonna drop a bomb on you. And Rex is like, that's a very terrible idea. I don't want a bomb dropped on me, thanks. He's like, no, man. It's gonna be an electric bomb. You'll be fine. And Rex is like, I'm pretty sure I can still die from electricity, thanks. And so he runs out there and he leaves his men. He's like, this is a terrible plan. And then, this is, again, kind of poignant because it's currently the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. So a bomb goes out, right? And they drop it, just like on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, even though that's not Pearl Harbor at all. And Rex is just like, oh god, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes, bam, and it explodes, right? And so the electric blast goes out, and Rex is just like, oh, I'm alive, that's nice. My comms are out, so I really don't have any directions, so we can party. And then the ground shakes, and he's just like, oh fuck, what happened? And the ground starts sinking in, and he was just like, well, that's a bad day. And he goes running away with all his clones, and this massive sinkhole opens, and he looks down and he goes, oh, that's a really big fucking hole right there. It looks like I just drilled my penis into the ground. and so then they're all trying to figure I knew you'd like that one, Yoda. And so before they know it, a big fucking Godzilla monster comes out of the ground, and Rex is just like, oh man, I want one. I'd like to ride it. And Palpatine's like, no way, bitch. That's mine. And Rex is just like, oh, Palpatine. Such a jerk. Didn't you learn how to share in kindergarten? And Palpatine's like, I didn't go to kindergarten. And Rex is like, sharing is caring and it can be fun. And Palpatine's just like, no, kill the beast. I'm now Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. And, yeah, and Rex is like, I'm the beauty. So they can take the beast back to Coruscant, and the whole time Rex is like, Anakin, this is a terrible idea. And Anakin's like, I know, bro. I can't do anything. And Windu is just like, I'm trying to take a nap over here, motherfuckers. And Commander Pons is just like, I'm not dead yet. And so they get back to Coruscant, and the beast was just like, hey, look at this beautiful city. Let's go running through Coruscant. on. And Palpatine's like, no, I'm going to kill you. And the Zilla Beast is just like, oh, that's a bad day. I'm just going to eat you now. I'm coming for you. So the Beast is rampaging through the city, right? And there's only one person they could call. Rex. And he shows up. And he's like, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do. Sadly, as cute as the Zilla Beast is, there's only one thing. We got to kill it. And they're all like, man, Rex, you're the smartest man on campus. And he's like, I know. They should make me the dean. And then they started the College of Rex. And so Rex got there, and they're like, he flew in on his magical unicorn transporter ship. And he like jumps on the Zilla Beast, and he's like, I'm sorry, lassie. It's time to go, like Old Yeller. And they gas him, and Rex jumps off the beast and rides it down the thing with Anakin. And they land, and they save everybody, but then Zillo dies. And Rex is like, that'll do, pig. That'll do. And then he really wasn't in the rest of the season, because he went back to the day spawn. He heard something about Boba Fett, and then something about like R2 dropping shit on some bounty hunters. And then Ahsoka came back, and she was just like, oh, hey, Rex, I'm here for our date. And he's like, where have you been? And she was like, oh, I almost cut off Aurra Sing's head. And he was like, yeah, that's radical, man. Let's go have sex. She was like, oh, that was a great season. He's like, I know. I can't wait till season 3.
There you have it.
Was it good?
That's the Rexvolution.
Was it okay?
That was extra. Yeah.
I don't think I went episode by episode last season.
No, I don't. I have to re-listen to last time, but yeah, this one was much more complete.
Oh, I tried. So, just wait until season 4 when we have the 4-part Umbara arc, which is God. Nothing Rex. That's gonna be so much fun. There's gonna be a lot of bros, like bro fives, bro Rex. What's up, bro? Jesse's like, I'm here too, bro. And then Tup comes along. And he's like, I want to be a part of the bros. And they're like, no one likes you, Tup. On Wednesdays we wear pink. That's also a Mean Girls reference. So, I can't wait to season 4. It'll be fun. As long as I made myself laugh, that's the important thing.
Right. As long as you're amusing yourself, what does it matter?
I know. As long as you gotta make yourself laugh first before you can make other people laugh. Anyway, you ready for your second question, Chris?
I am.
Alright, so we started the season with Cad Bane, and we ended the season with Boba Fett. One is a new guy, and one is from the original trilogies. Which one left a bigger impact on you, and why? Or kind of like a sort of melding question, did they impact you in different ways?
Yeah, more Cad Bane than anything. Boba was neat to see, but he got a little bit of development, but he's still a little kid, so he's kind of underdeveloped anyway, and he's dangerous, but not like Cad Bane, you know. Cad Bane's a real threat. Boba Fett was neat in the context of, you know, we're going to see him as an adult and we get a little insight into his character. But Cad Bane's somebody, you know, who's going to be affecting us in, you know, episodes of the show, you know, definitely Cad Bane.
Mm-hmm. So, my turn.
All right. Question 2. How do you think the introduction of all these new bounty hunters contributes to Clone Wars? Are there any favorites or any ones you could do without?
So for the first question, the reason I put insert answer here, because we had a very similar question to it earlier, so I wasn't sure if what I would say would be different. So pretty much what I said earlier, I think it adds a new dangerous level to the Clone Wars, and it adds a new level that we didn't have before, and I think it also plays a lot more with the complexity of things, because now there's this wild card out there that can just show up at any time and mess up your day. So definitely. Now, some of my favorites, we've already talked a ton about Cad Bane. I mean, he was in, three episodes at the beginning of the season, and that was it. And we've talked about him more than any of the other bounty hunters. Like, he just left that big of an impression. He's probably my favorite villain in the show other than Ventress. Probably my favorite villain in the show, with Ventress up there, too. That being said, I loved Imbo. Love Imbo. He has a dog. He gets a dog later. Later on, he has a puppy. But he has a cool hat. And he's like Captain America as a bounty hunter. And he uses his hat. He throws it around. And he speaks in French Smurfs. We know from the episode featurette from that episode that Dave Filoni just read terrible French from Smurf books. So he speaks in French Smurf. And so...
How can that be bad? Yeah.
I know, and so, like, he's just, he's just a really cool guy, and I'm so glad that they just made the decision of keeping him alive, because he was supposed to die in Bounty Hunters, and they ended up not killing him. Thank you, Clone Wars staff, for thinking he was so cool to keep him around. I do like getting more of the Boba Fett backstory, just to kind of develop that character more, and I like seeing how the Bounty Hunters and the Pirates differ. Like, one is more, like, they both have different honor systems, and they both have different things. Like, one is highest bidder, one just takes for their own gain. So I liked seeing how Bounty Hunters and Pirates differed in the story. And ones I could do without, we mentioned Cassius earlier. He didn't do anything. And then there's one Bounty Hunters in the episode Bounty Hunters. And I don't even know her name, but she died. She didn't even say anything, and she died. And so I think we had, like, one too many people, characters in that, because right, if you can't even give your character something to say before they die, that's not a great character. It's not like she was a clone. Like, she had a pretty cool design. And, she had a pretty cool design. And also, just to throw in there, Cassie Cryer. I would have loved to see more Cassie Cryer. I don't know if she was a bounty hunter or what, but she was that kind of character type, and I need more of my gal pals TM with vagina eye mitten hands. So, yeah. I'm kind of glad that bounty hunter died, because she didn't do anything. So, I don't even think I mentioned her in the notes when I did the write-up for the episode, because she literally didn't do anything.
Right.
So, I think if you're going to use bounty hunters, give them something to do and don't just have them be there. I mean, it was cool. I really like Sugi, too. Sugi from the episode of Bounty Hunters, because I liked seeing how she differed from Cad Bane and she differed from Aurra Sing. I think she was more moral-based. Well, Aurra's just evil. I love how evil. She's like an evil Kim Kardashian. I love her. And then Cad Bane is definitely deadly. I feel like Sugi was more based in morals, like, you know, Hondo offered to outpay the Fraggles, and she was like, no, I was here first with them, so I'm sticking with them. So I like seeing that kind of bounty hunter, too. I always kind of forget about Sugi, but she was a really cool character. I liked her a lot. So, all right, so your next question. Now we have two seasons of Clone Wars in the books. What do you feel is the strong points and the weak points of the show so far?
Definitely the strongest point for me is the show's adventuresome. The people who write it and make it are not afraid to go in all different kinds of directions and see and explore different things. And if it doesn't work, they'll often drop it. And if it does work, they'll often run with it. And it made for a really great show. And the weak point is maybe when they do that, it stretches some of the characters a little thin now and then. Maybe, but like, it's also been great at like fitting the continuity in between the movies. And I don't know if showing up the movies is a strength or a weakness, you know. I don't think they're supposed to be showing up the movies, but they are. But so I would put that in the strength.
I would kind of like, I have two sort of follow-ups. I would say kind of a weakness of the show. Oh, what was I going to say? I didn't put it in my notes, so that's why I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. I actually think the fact that sometimes the episodes are out of order is a bit of a weakness, because, though, that being said, Cat and Mouse would have been the best opening episode for Clone Wars.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is now you can watch them in whatever order you want, so you could fix it if you really wanted to take the time to figure it
yeah.
all out.
So I think sometimes that leads to a little bit of confusion. I don't mind the occasional out of order episode, but like, for example, we saw Heavy die in Rookies in season one, and he's going to be in the very first episode of season three.
Right.
I remember, like, that was the point where I realized, like, oh, there's a continuity issue here. What's going on? And I looked it out, but I was like, oh, Clone Wars is not in chronological order. Well, that's not fun. But I keep thinking about my friend Bill. He was really confused watching Clone Wars because, and was like, I feel like we're jumping around everywhere. And I'm like, that's because you are. So I give him the continuity list, and he's enjoying it a lot more now because he feels like it flows better now. But, like, he was just really – I think it can be at times a little confusing not being in chronological order. But at the same time, I don't always mind it as much. I think it's fun seeing Anakin and Cat and Mouse and see where he used to be to where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also really do without the Jedi being super godlike and parkouring up and down mountains like it's with ease. Even though we saw in the prequels that Anakin does that anyway.
Yeah, it gets a little ridiculous, so.
Yeah, like, if it was more natural, like, I feel like Kanan and Ezra has it down. Like, they can jump out of a ship, but you actually see them, like, put out their hands and slow themselves with the Force.
Right.
I feel like that's more natural. I feel like in Clone Wars,
instead of leaping from the ground up 500 feet.
Yeah, like, that is, to me, is just, it's crazy. Like, I don't like that. I think that's giving your characters a little bit too much power. I don't care if Anakin is the chosen one. He shouldn't be able to jump up half a mountain in one jump. So, yeah.
All right. Oh, that's right. I gotta ask you.
You get your last question.
Do you think season 2 is stronger or weaker than season 1, or the same in its characterization of women characters?
I think it was stronger, but it was because, unlike season 1, we really only had 3 women. We had Ventress, we had Padme, and we had Ahsoka. And where I think the strength of season 2 is that it introduced different kinds of women doing various different jobs. We got to see nice bounty hunters like Sugi and evil bounty hunters like Aurra Sing. Outside of Ventress, we really haven't had a lot of evil females. So having Aurra Sing there to have, you know, I talked about it, I think it was in Death Trap. It might have been the episode afterward. It might have been in R2 Come Home. But talking about how men aren't the only evils in the world. Women can be evil too, but you just don't always see a lot of evil female characters because it's almost like, I don't know why, because like women are just as equally can be evil as men can. And I liked seeing different kinds of Padawans with different training between Barriss and Ahsoka. You know, Barriss was more strict, Ahsoka was more loosey-goosey, but each other's differences ended up saving each other. Barriss got them through the weapons factory, Ahsoka saved their lives. Like, they together got the job done, even though they were different and had different kinds of training. And I also liked seeing more Luminara and how her methods varied from Anakin. And we also got to see different kinds of female political leaders with Satine. I mean, Satine's a very different kind of leader than Padme is. Padme is very much more adventurous. She's okay, shoot him up and stuff like that, and running through Naboo with guns blazing. Satine's going to use her words first and then defend herself. And so I like seeing these different kinds of political leaders when it comes to the women as well. And while we don't, you know, I realize we don't have Ventress in this entire season. Ventress is not in this season at all. But so, like, while we don't have Ventress in the season, our other three established female, our other two established female characters got more development. We got to see Ahsoka struggling with PTSD during this Geonosis arc and showing this, like, psychological side of the Jedi that we really don't get to see. We don't get to see scenes of Anakin and Obi-Wan sitting down and being like, man, I'm having trouble sleeping today. No, because they're already established, so at least we got to see that side through Ahsoka. And we got to see Padme using her womanly ways and using pretty much every female trope out there to outsmart the men and get her job done. And so it was nice seeing these established characters and seeing new sides of them. So what I think season 2 did so well was they gave us different kinds of women, and they also showed us different sides of the women that we already have. So stronger, okay. But because it was different.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, and we got to see a lot of different women, too. I mean, we got to see, like, from minor characters to major characters, we got to see various different people, and it doesn't stop from here. Like, I think there's an episode in season 3 where it's about Padme's handmaiden. And, like, when do we talk to Padme's handmaidens ever, unless they're, like, pretending to be the Queen of Naboo? So, I like it. I like seeing all the different kinds of women in the show. Like, that's actually one of the initial reasons why I fell in love with Star Wars. You know, it's not just like original trilogy, here's Leia. Prequels, here's Padme. Now we have, like, different Jedi. We have different political leaders. We have different people on the ground. We have people, different Padawans. We have different bounty hunters. Like, we're actually seeing, I feel like this season really got us into a better representation of what the population is. You know, like, population's 51% women. Sorry, guys. We're 51% women. And we're here. Well, I was about to say we're here, we're queer. But not all of us are queer.
Well, I also think, well, you know, this sort of Clone Wars sort of predated Disney. Because when Disney gets a hold of something, you're going to see a lot more women in it, because Disney is a company that knows half their audience is female, you know. They know it from being Disney for so many years, you know. So all of a sudden, you know, Star Wars movies, there's more female characters because they know now they can sell lightsabers to little girls too, you know?
And, you know, I think it really helps set the stage for Rebels. I don't think if we had Clone Wars, we would have gotten Hera or Sabine. We may have gotten, like, one of them.
One of them, yeah.
I agree. We wouldn't have Hera being the first pilot of the B-Wing. Like, that's just such a major moment to me that the first pilot of the B-Wings was a Twi'lek woman. Like, that's a major moment for me. And it's just... And then you have Satine. She's a weapons expert. How often do you hear about female weapons experts? She knows explosions better than anybody. She can look at a ship and go, okay, this is the weak points. They turn to her. And I don't think we would have gotten them if not for Clone Wars. Like, we were, probably would have gotten just one of them, but not both. And so I think Clone Wars really set the stage for that. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy when we get to Rebels. I can't wait. I just want to talk about Catlas and his mutton chops. I love Catlas and his...
I might have to catch up tonight. I have to watch. Actually, we're before New Year's now, so I'm preparing a horror episode of our horror show, and we're watching 3 Evil Santa Claus movies, so I'm probably going to watch the 3rd Evil Santa Claus movie today.
When you watch An Inside Man, and you'll know it because the point of it is that Kanan and Ezra return to Lothal. That's the episode. They return to Lothal. And so when you watch the episode, I want to hear from you.
Okay.
So... because that was probably easily my favorite episode of the season. Before that, it was Hera's Heroes. I really liked Hera's Heroes a lot. Thought it was a really good Hera episode, and it was also a really cool Thrawn episode. I really loved Thrawn in that. But my only gripe about this season so far is hasn't been anything with Zeb. It's been a very Zeb-light episode.
He's just been sort of hanging around in the background, yeah.
And I love Zeb. I think he's probably the most undeveloped character of the Ghost Crew. I mean... We kind of get, there's an episode where with Hondo and Zeb, but Zeb doesn't really do much. And so after a lot of his development in season 2, I really want more Zeb, and he's just there. He's just kind of there, and I don't like it. That's probably my biggest criticism of season 2 so far. So I hope we get some Zeb in the second half. Dave Filoni, make it happen. Come on, Pablo. Pablo Hidalgo, let's do this. All right, so for your final question, Chris, and this is a carryover from last season. And I know he wasn't in this season that much, but what was your favorite Grievous-y moment? Grievous.
It was a weak Grievous season for me. No gore or his house or anything like that. I got a few crab crawls. I always like the crab crawls, but the best Grievous-y moment was just one little brief moment where he tossed his cape at Obi-Wan's face. That was awesome. That was truly awesome.
I did like in Grievous' Intrigue his new weapon of cutting a hole in the door and then kicking it in and taking out 10 people.
yeah, which he does like 5 times in the episode. But that's pretty good too. But the cape toss is my high point.
I'm hoping for some more high points in the future. I loved that moment. I just loved him throwing his cape at it too. That was probably my favorite Grievous-y moment.
Hoping there's more in season 3.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for everything. So that's here's one. What would you rate the season as a whole?
Oh, I'd give it a strong, like, 8.5. There were a lot of really strong episodes this season, and only a couple, like, in the 6.5s. Everything else was 7.5. But just in general, it goes up. But there were a couple 9s in there, so, yeah, I'm 8.5.
For me, even though this has, like, a solid 10 in there and a couple 9s and stuff like that, I'm actually going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
I really love the first half of the season. The second half of the season is a bit of a slugfest for me. I don't want to say there are a lot of my least favorite episodes of Clone Wars, because not that by far, but I feel like at least with season 1, you know it's an adventure of the week, and starting in season 3, it's more like contained story arcs.
Yeah.
Definitely in season 4, like, it's 3 to 4 episode story arcs. So I feel like season 2 is kind of like a hodgepodge season a little bit. And I feel like they came out guns blazing and they went out with a purr. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh sure.
And so I definitely, if it was just the first half of season from Cad Bane to Geonosis, it'd be a solid 9. If we did, like, Cad Bane to the Deserter, actually. Cad Bane to the Deserter is a solid 9 for me. But the second half of the season in there, I like the episodes. I don't love them. I could really do without Lightsaber Lost, too. I like the episode. I don't love it. Ahsoka missed the point for me. So I would say definitely a 7.5. So
still solid.
Yeah. Sorry. We'll definitely return to feedback next week for this. So, but if you do want to send us feedback, you can always leave us a message on iTunes. We like when you do that because it helps people find the show. And you can also go to our Two True Freaks Facebook page, and we put up the episodes there, and you can leave us a comment in the episodes. So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where you'll see all our shows. We got like probably 30 or so shows going right now, including Is It Jaws, which I just love saying Is It Jaws. What a great concept for a show where they take a movie and they rate it against Jaws. We've got some. We're doing the Star Wars stuff. There's some Deep Space Nine going on. There's lots, all sorts of comic stuff going on. So, yeah, get in there and dig around. You won't believe what you're gonna find. And we got a Gene, the podcasting machine, runs our Twitter space, so you can look up Two True Freaks on Twitter. And Hope runs our J Guys and Jedi's Twitter feed. So you can always look up that, too, for more direct J Guys and Jedi news. And where can they find you, Hope?
You sounded like you're trying to do a Godfather impression.
just some wire got crossed there somewhere.
Well, like I said, you can find us on J Guys and Jedi on Twitter, at J Guys and Jedi on Twitter. I will say that I'd like to live tweet Rebels episodes when I watch them, usually with funny GIFs. I usually add GIFs when I do that, but I don't always do it every week. Like right now we're in the holiday season, so lately I've been getting home like two hours after.
Life and work get pretty intense during this time of year.
Yes, so I should be more regular on that once the Christmas is over for us, even though it's the new year for you, so happy new year. You can also find me at What the Fangirl. I'm the news beat writer for them. And you can also follow me at Twitter at Hope Molinex. And yeah, that's where I am.
Welcome to 2017.
Oh God, please be better than 2016. That was a trash year. We lost so many good people.
Whatever.
Crazy election year.
I enjoyed 2016 thoroughly. I've been waiting for 2016 for 30 years. Not for all the deaths, although. I'm with Michael Bailey on all the deaths. Yeah, we lost a lot of good people, but most of them, for the most part, with the exceptions of like the really tragic young ones like Anton Yeltsin, I'd like to get his name right, but you know, most of them like David Bowie and you know the guy.
We lost Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman not so much, but. A lot of these guys had, you know, went really old, you know, 80 years old plus. So that's a good run, usually. You know, most of them had a really good run. They did really well, and they went out at an old age. So that's the way you want to do it. Go out at 80 or 90 and have a wonderful career that everybody respects. So there were a lot of deaths. I don't think there were a lot of tragic deaths. It's always sad when someone dies, but it wasn't as much tragedy as it was just there's a lot of people in that generation who are a lot of people in that generation, and they're getting to be in their 80s now, so...
Yeah, it's about to be a rough decade.
Yeah, we're going to lose a lot of people and the just because of the sheer force of time, so... How's that for a great note?
my big tragic thing was a few episodes back we talked about having, like, wildfires here in, like, North Georgia and stuff like that, but the city of Galveston just got flooded by wildfire.
Pretty much and, wiped out, yeah.
And that was, like, a big one for me because it's the Christmas season, and I know what it looks like because back when I was in college, me and my buddy Grace, she lives up in North Carolina, so I took a road trip up there, and the two of us went out to a three-day Wizard Rock Festival out in Missouri, and we drove through Galveston. and it was beautiful. Like, it was all decorated for Christmas, just like it was with the fires. And it was a gorgeous city, and we were driving through it through the middle of the night, and it was just beautiful. And it's, like, just such... It was one of my favorite parts of the trip, because we actually stopped and, like, went a few places on our road trip together and stopped in a few places in Galveston, and it was gorgeous. And I always wanted to go back, especially around Christmas. And now, like, half the city is gone.
Gone, yep.
It's just, it's going to take years to rebuild that city before I can, like, go back and enjoy it again. And so many people lost their lives in that, too. I just keep thinking of the people. There's an aquarium in Galveston, and the workers refused to leave because they had to leave the animals. And I think a few of them lost their lives because they just refused to leave the animals. They had no way to get them back. And so, yeah, like, that's the one that really got me, because I've been there, and I know, I have pictures, I have a video on YouTube of us driving through Galveston, like, and so that was definitely a big one for me, because I have a very strong emotional attachment to that, so, and it's very fresh, it's only, like, a couple weeks ago at our time. By the time this comes out, it'll be a couple months, but, like, as of right now, it's still very fresh.
So. Right, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's, guys! What is your New Year's resolution?
I don't make New Year's resolutions. I think they're for, they're for dupes.
What do you have to get completed in 2017 that's not a resolution?
Now, what?
What do you hope to get completed in 2017 that's not a New Year's resolution?
Same thing as every year, world domination.
Yeah, good job, Pinky. I guess you would be the brain. Does that make me Pinky? Did you ever see Pinky in the Brain?
Of course I did.
Nerf.
My goal is to finish the first draft of my book. Yeah.
Yeah, remember, I get to make the cover of your first book.
Did I promise that?
Yeah, you did. It's okay. You can go back at it if you want, if you got somebody better. I know a lot better artists than me.
I'll have to see, maybe. Like, because I know where I want to try and publish it, and if they don't take it, I'm just going to self-publish. I already plan on it, so. But yeah, I NaNoWriMo'd my book back in November. I got 61,000 words done in a month. Very proud of that. I'm at 120 pages, and the sad thing is, I looked at my outline, I'm only a tenth of the way in my outline. It's going to be a long fucking book.
Holy cow.
Yep. So I know there's going to be a lot of editing.
Yeah. That's why they call them drafts.
Yep, but right now, I'm just still in the first draft page of get the damn thing on the page. That's where I am.
Yep.
So I'm about a tenth of the way in my outline. Originally, I was shooting to have the first draft butt done by February. That's not going to happen, so let's shoot for summer. Shooting for summer.
Oh, jeez. Let's not even talk about summer yet.
It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't have anything else, so on to season 3. And we open season 3 with clones! Yay!
More clones coming. Alright, guys, we'll see you in a week.
See you next week. Happy New Year. Have fun. Enjoy your clone babies. And ride on your unicorn spaceship like Rex. Did I say something about a unicorn spaceship?
Yeah, that's some kind of Freudian slip. Okay, off we go.
Alright, away, Rex, away!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2TrueFreaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2TrueFreaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2TrueFreaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email 2TrueFreaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2TrueFreaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2TrueFreaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2TrueFreaks on Facebook. Just search for 2TrueFreaks.
The
ass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.